Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
In Christ, we have a righteousness that can never be tarnished. In Christ, we have a peace that can never be understood. And we have resources that will never be exhausted. We have everything we need in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we walk not like we are orphans and without, but as children of the King in Christ and ready to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you, and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reaching Forth with Care.
Well, in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul is thanking the Philippian church for being a people who cared continually for the needs of others. The Bible tells us that Paul was writing this letter of Philippians from a Roman prison. He was in the city of Rome. He had a guard that was handcuffed to him. And yet, even while he was in this time of imprisonment, he is writing to the other churches and communicating with them. He was in this time of imprisonment, and yet he also was still hearing from the churches that he had helped before. I want you to notice how far he was from Philippi as he was there in Rome. In fact, the pastor from the church at Philippi, Epaphras, had brought a gift all the way to him several hundred miles away. And one of the reasons Paul wrote this book was to thank the church for the offering that they had sent. This took place around 62 AD. It was a time when Christianity, while being suppressed by the Roman government, nevertheless was flourishing throughout the known world. And verse 10 of our text really shows us the heart of the Philippians. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." So we get the idea that this church was a very caring church, and that their care wasn't like back in the day, but that it was presently still happening. They were helping the work of the Apostle Paul. You know, for centuries, Christians have been the primary agents of charity and compassion in the Western culture. Whether you look at colleges or hospitals or orphanages or relief organizations, you're normally going to find a small band of Christians who have compassion in their heart, who care to make a difference in this world. And that is exactly what was happening in Philippi. They were in northern Macedonia, an impoverished region. Yet, despite their poverty, they gave liberally so that others could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Lancaster Baptist Church has been a caring church for three decades. For more than three decades, we have gone to nearly every home in northern LA County with the gospel. In the last 20 years, we have been to more than 400,000 households every year with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We, every Sunday, run 15 buses to underprivileged homes to bring children to Sunday school, to feed them meals, to spread the love of Christ throughout our community. We have many programs like the Love Works program, where we have painted high schools and veterans' homes, and where we have passed out coffee in Jesus' name, doing everything we know how to do to be a caring church. This entire campus is a testimony to our community that we care for every person from every background and of every age. But the question this morning And the question as we come together tonight is, how do we continue that legacy? How can we continue to be a people like these people in the first century who were willing to care for others, even people that they had never met before? Well, I want you to learn with me this morning three principles from the Philippians that all of us can glean from today. I want you to notice, first of all, the communication of the church. The communication of this church. The Bible says in verse 14, "Notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Now, when we think of the word communication, we might think of a text or an email or something on Twitter or Facebook. But for those of you that take notes, I want you to get a little bit deeper with me on the meaning of the word communicate. The word here means to share in common or to participate with. So they weren't just telling Paul, hey, how's it going, or sending him an email, but by sending him an offering, they were communicating and participating with him. In essence, they were saying, we're with you, we're with the Christians at Rome, and we want you to know that we're buying in, we're all in to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The apostle does not simply tell us here that this was a joint contribution, but he says more than that. That they had joined with him, that they were helping him to get the gospel out. We see this word in other passages of the Bible. In your notes, I've placed Galatians 6:6. It says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." So the word communicate is to say, I'm standing with you. And when they communicated in giving, they were saying, we stand with the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people today that are willing to send an email. They're willing to have a bumper sticker. But not everyone is willing to communicate with giving and receiving. Not everyone wants to get all in that way. I heard of a mother that was preparing some pancakes for her two boys. Kevin was 5, Ryan was 3. And they began to argue over who would get the first pancake. And mom thought this would be a good opportunity to kind of teach them a little moral lesson. And so the mother said, look, boys, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. And so Kevin heard that and he said, okay, Ryan, you be Jesus. Now, there's a lot of people who are willing to let the other person give the first pancake, right? A lot of people willing to sign up and say, well, I'm a member of the church. A lot of people willing to say, I believe in God or Jesus. But the Philippians, they wanted to communicate at a deeper level than that. They wanted to say to the Apostle Paul, we're all in with getting the gospel out. As you plant these churches, we're with you. We're communicating with you in giving and receiving. Now, they communicated in three ways, and I want you to hear those ways. First, they communicated personally. The Bible says in verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Notice this personal pronoun. It was personal to the Apostle Paul. We're standing with you. Some of you may remember the story during World War II of the Berlin airlifts and how there was a particular captain by the name of Captain Halvorsen who he had a burden for those on the eastern side of the wall. And many of us will recall that it wasn't until President Reagan stood there and said at the Brandenburg Gate, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. It wasn't until that time that those on the eastern side of the wall in East Berlin were living a very impoverished life, a very difficult life. But going back into the 40s under the communist oppression, this captain, he began to take his meal rations and his chocolate rations, and he got the idea that as he ran his missions each day, he would dip his wing over on the east side just enough to drop some of his candy down to those children in the schools in East Berlin. Soon, some of his friends began to do the same thing, these little makeshift parachutes, and they would drop the candy down, and somehow Hershey heard about it all the way back in Pennsylvania. They began to ship chocolate all the way to Germany, and the Berlin airlifts became a thing of history. The children of East Berlin would have chocolate coming down during their school playground time and into parks, and it was a tremendous blessing to them. Terry and I, several years ago, were in Berlin, and we met a lady there, and we were talking with her. She told us she was from Esperland, and we began to tell her about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she began to tell us about these airlifts. And I'll never forget listening to this grown woman talk to us about this chocolate coming out of the sky. And she got tears. By the way, most women would cry over chocolate coming out of the sky. I understand that, but we're going to go a little deeper than that right now, okay? She got tears in her eyes when she looked at me and she looked at Terry and she said, you know, really, it wasn't the chocolate. It was knowing that we were not forgotten. Knowing that we were not forgotten. The Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, so laboring and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We must learn to communicate personally. But notice, secondly, they communicated exclusively. And what I mean by this is that not everyone else was involved in this giving. Notice in verse 15, it says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. You see, this church stood out. This church was stepping out by faith while others were waiting. And I hear the stories of churches that don't run buses anymore to get the children, or churches that are dropping services or declining in this way or that. And that saddens my heart. But tonight, as a church, we're going to step forward. We're going to reach forth into seeing God doing something great. And whether we do it while lots of others are doing it, or whether we do it alone, is not the important thing. What is important is that we obey God's Spirit speaking into our heart. The Philippian stewardship was really a barometer of their spiritual growth. Were they going to be bumper sticker Christians, or were they going to get wholly involved in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? This was an opportunity for them to evidence their love. And what I have found is that love takes the stewing out of stewardship. Love takes the stew out of stewardship. You know, Terry and I aren't going to be worried about things tonight. We're not going to be rubbing our hands. How's this going to work? Listen, we are passionately involved in doing the work that God has called us to do. And this church did it exclusively. But notice, thirdly, they communicated consistently. They were very consistent. Verse 16 says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. You see, they had given 10 years prior, and now they're continually giving to the work of the Lord. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And what a life totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see them continually giving. Here they see the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison. They send their own pastor with an offering, with a coat to cover him, to keep him warm. What a blessing. And what I have found, and many of you as well who've been Christians and who've been a part of this church through the years, is that repeat giving requires repeat growth, continually growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't rest on yesterday's growth or yesterday's grace. How many of you understand we need new grace today? And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, therefore as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you grow in this grace also. Paul said, keep growing in the grace of giving, in seeing the need and taking the lead, meeting the needs that others have in their life. Oh, I think about this country in which we live and how blessed we are. Forbes magazine had an article not long ago. In the article, they told us that there were 946 billionaires on planet Earth. And when they averaged together all of the philanthropic giving and all of the philanthropy that they were involved in, those billionaires gave only 1.2% of their income to charitable contributions. Oftentimes, it's those with the most who do the least. The great thing about Philippi, they had little, but they were generous with what they had. God was working a work of grace in their heart. And so today we see the communication of the church. It wasn't just an email or a howdy.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you.
If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.